In attempting to rationalize various details that we have come upon, or to assimilate them, or to digest them, the toughest meal is swallowing statements upon mysterious appearances in closed rooms, or passages of objects and substances through walls of houses, without disturbing the material of the walls. Oh, yes, I have heard of the fourth dimension, but I am going to do myself some credit by not lugging in that particular way of showing that I don't know what I'm writing about. There's a story in the St. Louis Globe Democrat, January 27, 1888. Large stones that were appearing and falling slowly in closed rooms in the home of Mr. P.C. Martin, Caldwell County, N.C. Madras, India, Mail, March 5, 1888. Pieces of brick that, in the presence of many investigators, were falling in a schoolroom, in Pondicherry. I can understand this phenomenon, or alleged phenomenon, of appearances in closed rooms, no more than I can understand the passage of a magnetic field of force through the wall of a house, without disturbing the material. But lines of this force do not transport objects through a dense material. Then I think of X-rays, which do something like this, if it be accepted that X-rays are aggregations of very small objects, or particles. X-rays do, or sometimes do, disturb materials penetrated by them, but this disturbance is not evident until after long continuance. If there is teleportation, it is in two orders, or fields, electric and non-electric, or phenomena that occur during thunderstorms, and phenomena that occur under a cloudless sky, and in houses. In the hosts of stories that I have gathered but with which I have not swamped this book of showers of living things, the rarest of all statements is of injury to the falling creatures. Then, from impressions that have arisen from other data, we think that the creatures may not have fallen all the way from the sky, but may have fallen from appearing points not high above the ground, or may have fallen a considerable distance under a counter-gravitational influence. I think that there may be a counter-gravitational influence upon transported objects, because of the many agreeing accounts more than I have told of slow-falling stones, by persons who had probably never heard of other stories of slow-falling stones, and because I have come upon records of similar magic, or witchcraft, in what will be accepted as sane and sober meteorological observations. See the Annual Register, 1859-70, an account by Mr. E. J. Lowe, a meteorologist and an astronomer, of a fall of hailstones, at Nottingham, England, May 29, 1859. Though the objects were more than an inch across, they fell slowly. In September, 1873, near Clermont-Ferrand, France, according to La Nature, 7-289, hailstones, measuring from an inch to an inch and a half across, fell. They were under an unknown influence. Notwithstanding their size, they fell so slowly that they did no damage. Some fell upon roofs and rebounded, and it was as if these shook off the influence. Those that rebounded then fell faster than fell those that came down in an unbroken fall. For other records of this phenomenon, see Nature, 36-445, Illustrated London News, 34-546, Bull. SOC. Astro. De France, June 19, 1900. If in the general electric conditions of a thunderstorm there be sometimes a counter-gravitational effect upon objects, somebody might find out how counter-gravitationally to electrify aircraft and aviators. If all work is opposition to gravitation, somebody may make a big discovery of benefit to general laziness. Elevators in skyscrapers might be run with half the power now needed. Here is an idea that may revolutionize industry, but just now I am too busy revolutionizing everything else, and I give this idea to the world, with the generosity of somebody who bestows something that isn't any good to him. But mysterious disappearances. Our data have been upon mysterious appearances. If I could appeal to what used to be supposed to be known as common sense, I'd ask whether something that mysteriously appears somewhere had not mysteriously disappeared somewhere else. Annals of Electricity, 6-499, Liverpool, May 11, 1842. Not a breath of air. Suddenly clothes on lines on a common shot upward. They moved away slowly. Smoke from chimneys indicated that above ground there was a southward wind, but the clothes moved away northward. There was another instance, a few weeks later. London Times, July 5, 1842. A bright, clear day, at Cupa, Scotland, June 30th. Women hanging out clothes on a common. There was a sharp detonation, and clothes on lines shot upward. Some fell to the ground, but others went on and vanished. There was a seeming of selection, which, because of possible bearing upon various observations of ours, interests me. Though this was a powerful force, nothing but the clothes it seized was affected. I wonder about the detonation, largely because it is in agreement with a detail of still another story. The closeness in time of these two occurrences attracts my attention. They were a few weeks apart, and I have no other such record, until 77 years later. A sensible suggestion is that somebody, in Cupa, having read the Liverpool story, had faked a similar story from his town. A suggestion that is not so sensible is that, in this year 1842, somebody had learned the secrets of teleportation, and to avoid attracting much attention in any one place was experimenting in places far apart. It seems likely enough to me that, if there be teleportation, human beings may have come upon knowledge of it, and may have used it. Likely enough, a spiritualist would say. Has he never heard of a ports? But whether it's narrowness and bigotry, upon my part, or not, I do not go to seances for data. I have collected notes upon mysterious robberies, wondering whether a teleportative power has ever been used criminally. As to a ports, if a medium could transport seashells from the sea to his cabinet, he could abstract funds from a bank to his pocket. If he could, but would not, how account for his being a medium? Looking through newspapers, I have had a searching eye for something like an account of a medium, who had become mysteriously rich, in a town where there had been shortages of funds, clerks accused of embezzlement, and convicted, but upon evidence that was not altogether satisfactory. Although usually I can find data to prove anything that I want to prove, I have come upon no such account, and I am skeptical as to apports, and think that mediums are like most of the rest of us, who are not criminals, having no exceptional abilities. However, there may be criminal adepts who are not known mediums. There was, in June, 1919, at Islip, Northampton, England, an occurrence like the occurrences at Liverpool and Cupa. London Daily Express, June 12, 1919, a loud detonation basketful of clothes shooting into the air. Then the clothes came down. There may be ineffective teleportative seizures. London Daily Mail, May 6, 1910, phenomena near Cantillana, Spain. From 10 o'clock in the morning until noon, May 4, stones shot up from a spot in the ground. Loud detonations were heard. Traces of an extinct volcano are visible at the spot, and it is believed that a new crater is being formed. But there is no findable record of volcanic activity in Spain, at this time nor at any other time. I am reminded of the loud noises that often accompany poltergeist disturbances. In Niles' Weekly Register, November 4, 1815, there is an account of stones that had been watched rising in a field, near Marbleton, Ulster County, New York, that these stones had been seen to rise 3 or 4 feet from the ground, then moving horizontally, from 30 to 60 feet. Out in open fields, there have been showers of water, strictly localized, and of unknown origin. A Dr. Neal will be heard from. He has captured, not indefinitely alluded to insects, but Procyonia undata fab. Every mystery has its fishmonger. Considered figuratively, he need not be a seller of fish. His name may be Smith, or O'Brien, or it may be Procyonia undata fab. But presumably in the winter time, in England, members of the Procyonia family are not busy and available for explanations. In the Chorley, Lancashire, Standard, February 15, 1873, is a story of excitement in the town of Eccleston. At Bank House, occupied by two elderly women and their niece, streams of water started falling, about the 1st of February, seemingly from ceilings. Furniture was soaked, and the occupants of the house were alarmed. The fall seemed to come from the ceiling, but probably the most singular feature of the affair is that ceilings were apparently quite dry. See back to Mr. Groton DX's story of objects that were appearing near a ceiling, or roof, with no signs of penetrating the material. Workmen had been called to the house, and had investigated, but were unable to explain. Openness again. House packed with neighbors, watching the showers. These data would make trouble for spiritualistic mediums and their requirements for special, or closed, conditions, and at least semi-darkness, if mediums were bothered by more than unquestioning or, occasionally politely questioning, faith. If some of them have been knocked about a bit, they were relatively few. Nobody in this house sat in a cabinet. Nobody was a logician. Nobody reasonably argued that chemists, for instance, must have special conditions, or their reactions will not work out. For instance, said nobody, how could you develop a photograph, except in the special conditions of darkness, or semi-darkness? The look to me is that, throughout what is loosely called nature, teleportation exists, as a means of distribution of things and materials, and that sometimes human beings have command, mostly unconsciously, though perhaps sometimes as a development from research and experiment, of this force. It is said that in savage tribes there are rainmakers, and it may be that among savages there are teleportationists. Some years ago, I'd have looked superior, if anybody had said this to me, but a good many of us are not so given to the tut-tut, as we used to be. It may be that in civilized communities, because of their storages, a power to attract flows of water, being no longer needed, has virtually died out, still appearing occasionally, however.